And now, it's time for the Talk of the Northwest, the 9 to noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello, good morning. 4 minutes past nine on Wednesday, the 13th of November. How are you getting on? It's good to have you on board for another 9 till noon show. We're all settled and calm in the studio now. Technical issues all over the place, but all been resolved. Fingers crossed. How are you keeping? Today's World Kindness Day. How are you all getting on? Are you all being kind to each other? I do hope so. We've got €350 vouchers to give away today. We stuck it up on social media yesterday, inviting you to send in your stories of kindness that you've received. It could be, you know, from a family member, an organisation, an individual, a random act of kindness, anything. We've €350 vouchers to give away today, as I mentioned. We have County Seat, we have Arnold's, and we have Century Cinemas on board. Fair play to them for supporting this initiative. And we're just looking for your stories of kindness. You can WhatsApp or text them in to us to 086 60 25 000, and you can keep the voucher for yourself. You can gift it to the person who was kind to you, or maybe the two of you can head out and spend it together. Either way, we just want your stories of kindness. A little later on, we're going to have four younger people in studio as we discuss the issues that are important to them as part of general election 24. You know, what will motivate them to vote if they indeed feel that they want to vote? So they're coming in a little later on as well. Maybe you've got some questions or input into that. That and so much more besides. So stay tuned. Stay right where you are. Let's go to the newspapers this morning. Taoiseach promises review of defective concrete block scheme. On Taoiseach Simon Harris in Stranorla on Monday, on a canvas with Fine Gael election candidate John McNulty, said that the urgency of the defective block issue was an important issue for Donegal. He promised a comprehensive review of the present remediation scheme if re-elected. If we're back in government, we'll carry out a full and comprehensive review within 6 months. I had Simon Harris on the show not so long ago, and such a commitment could have been made, I suppose. He went on to say, "I know how much a burden has been placed on people and how stressed they've been." He's confident of the campaign team and acknowledged their dedication to public service with John and with Nikki Bradley. "We have a really great ticket," he said. Okay. On to the Nationals now. We'll go to the Irish Independent first. And plenty of coverage as it relates to the progress, as it might seem, in the investigation into the murder of Jojo Dollard. The chief suspect in the murder of Jojo Dollard had a scratch mark on his face and gave contradictory statements to Gardaí in the weeks after she went missing 29 years ago. The man, who is in his 50s now, was one of the last people known to have seen her alive and became a person of interest in the early stages of the investigation. The Irish Independent has learned that it gave Gardaí at least two conflicting accounts which contained anomalies and false information when he was initially interviewed about his movements on the night Miss Dollard went missing. Now, of course, the investigation has to continue, and we don't know in which direction it might go, but I suppose given the fact that he was later categorised as a suspect after the investigation was reviewed by the Garda Cold Case Unit and upgraded to a murder inquiry in 2020, people might ask, you know, well, why is it taking so long? A source said of this, his statements were contradictory, and when he was pressed on the discrepancies, he claimed that he didn't want his partner to know he'd given a lift to another woman. At the time, some Gardaí felt it was suspect. Others thought it was nothing malicious. Those statements are now being viewed in an altogether different light, given the new lines of inquiry generated as part of the cold case review. On to the Irish Times now, and I note that Donald Trump has appointed Elon Musk, as he committed to sort of overview government spending to cut the bureaucracy. Do you know, there are in many governments around the world, if not all of them, there are many layers of administration, and Elon Musk is charged with another to trim the fat effectively, and he believes that he can reduce the amount of bodies within government massively. And you just wonder if such a suggestion here might gather appeal. Related or unrelated, I don't know. What would you do with €514,000? Well, this state paid consultants that amount of money for 33 pages of Metro Plan reports. The state body behind the Dublin Metro projects paid €514,000 for two reports from the same accounting firm in an exercise yielding no more than 33 pages of written text so far. The reports were delivered this year to Transport Infrastructure Ireland from EY, formerly Ernst & Young. EY is scheduled to deliver a further 100-page report before the end of December under one of the contracts. In the middle of an election campaign in which the opposition is attacking government parties for wasteful spending, the transport body's EY expenditure amounts to thousands of euro for each page of text. The spending was disclosed yesterday in a parliamentary reply to outgoing Social Democrat TD Catherine Murphy, who accused state bodies of out-of-control spending on consultants. On to the Irish Daily Mail and questions over the civil service being raised by Sinn Féin. Sinn Féin has ignited a fresh row with civil servants by saying the bureaucracy of the state needs to be streamlined as work is often more than duplicated. Party leader Mary Luke MacDonald doubled down yesterday on comments she previously made when she said that parts of the civil service were constipated. As the general election campaign moves into its fifth day, with 16 days before voters go to the polls, the comment represents another risky move for a party that, according to recent opinion polls, has lost favour with many of its supporters. Previous comments made by Sinn Féin housing spokesperson Owen O'Brien after he disagreed with chief economist of the Department of Finance John McCarthy were labelled as risky and chilling, with political commentators saying the latest remarks show the party is not prepared for the mechanics of going into government. Which effectively means, I think, they're not prepared to go in, or they're not prepared yet for how they go into government and knock heads with civil servants. We heard yesterday from the former housing minister that there are really three individuals or three departments that run everything. That needs to change, doesn't it? Because what's the point in electing new people or re-electing the same people with different promises if the civil service has so much control and power that criticising them is chilling and risky? Chilling and risky. On to the Irish Daily Star now. And a Romanian man charged in connection with a fatal hit and run where a 16-year-old boy was killed genuinely thought he hit a deer, a court has heard. Martin Szilahi, 40, appeared before Athai District Court yesterday, charged with failing to stop at the scene with intent to escape liability for a death under Section 106 of the Road Traffic Act. The accused, with an address at Port Leash, County Leash, who only arrived in the country 8 weeks ago, is also charged with driving a dangerous vehicle after a collision. Teenager Keira Moore of Greggs, I believe it is, in Robertstown, County Kildare, was killed as he walked along the R43 in Blackwood near Robertstown when it is suspected he was struck by a van in the early hours of Sunday morning, November 10th. It must be very difficult for the family at this time. On to the ongoing court case, civil case against Conor McGregor, and some of the details in this might offend some, but it's only brief. A paramedic who examined the woman who claimed she was raped by Conor McGregor has told a court she'd not seen somebody so bruised in a long time. Ethna Scully, a paramedic with Dublin Fire Brigade, was giving evidence on the fifth day of a High Court civil case. Nikita Hand is suing UFC star Conor McGregor and his friend James Lawless for damages over alleged sexual assault. Ms Hand, 35, a former hair colourist from Drimnagh, South Dublin, alleges she was raped by Mr McGregor, who denies the claims, in the penthouse suite of the Beacon Hotel in Sandyford on December 9th, 2018. Later, the jury of four men and eight women heard from a psychiatrist who diagnosed Ms Hand with PTSD and who told the jury that Ms Hand told her she wanted to die. Ms Scully, an advanced paramedic with DFB, confirmed in the court that she tended to Ms Hand in an ambulance which was called to her mother's home in Drimnagh on the morning of December 10th. This is the next morning. Ms Scully said Ms Hand, who was wearing pyjamas, allowed her to examine her body, and it was then she noticed she was very bruised. She noticed bruising on the plaintiff's lower neck and around her chest and breast down to her legs. Ms Scully told the court, "I haven't actually seen somebody so bruised in such a long time." Conor McGregor denies those charges. I think the suggestion is that though it was consensual, which is something I can't comment on, obviously. I was just about to, and then I realised I can't, as it's an ongoing trial. And finally, in the Irish Sun, you know, you have to be careful what you put up on social media, but I wouldn't have worried too much about putting up a Google review. That's not the case for a Tyrone man. The desperate mum of an Irish man who's facing jail in Dubai has pleaded with officials, "Please let our son come home." Craig Ballantyne was arrested 3 weeks ago after arriving in Abu Dhabi on holiday. He was lifted over leaving a negative review on Google, with the 33-year-old taken to Dubai to face charges of slander under the strict UAE cybercrime laws, which is any form of online criticism. Autism support worker Craig from Cookstown in Tyrone is now trapped in Dubai on bail after being hit with a travel ban. Now, Mum Margaret has urged UK and Irish officials to help get her lad back. Now, the UAE generally is trying to, I suppose, endear itself to the West through its support of golf, boxing, etc., and is moderating some of its stance on certain things, but clearly not this. He put up a negative review on Google, obviously some time ago. He landed in the UAE, was arrested on arrival, taken to Dubai, and is facing charges of slander because of a negative review on Google. It's almost hard to believe, but not hard to believe, I'm sure, for the man himself and also for his family. All right, that was a run through the papers. Good morning, Kathy, Charlie, Mike, Annie, Dolores, among the hundreds watching across our various social media and on our website direct on YouTube, Highland Radio Ireland, if you want to watch on your smart TV or Fire Stick, if you're home. We're across Facebook as well, Highland Radio News, Sport and Obituaries, Highland Hub, and on the X platform, streaming at Highland Radio. Right, we'll be back with our first guests on the show once we take this quick break. Stay right where you are. Let's say good morning to Martin. Martin, how are you getting on? Thanks for taking the call today.
No problem. Good morning, Greg. How are you?
I'm okay. Taken aback by some of the pictures that you've sent in to us, and those of us, those who are watching the show either live or watching back, will see an image on their screens right now of, well, it's hard to describe exactly what it is. It is a leather jacket. It looks like a leather jacket that is absolutely covered in mold. It's really quite disgusting. Tell us about this jacket, how it ended up being in the condition that it's in.
Well, I sent you the pictures after, and I wasn't expecting to be on speaking to you about it, but anyway, that is a mold-ridden leather jacket that has come out of my daughter's bedroom. We have two girls moved out of their bedroom about 7 or 8 months ago, and we put them down into the playroom, cleaned out the playroom, put it down because the room was so bad. We have a defective concrete home. Now, the room has probably been closed up for the last 6-7 months. That is a jacket that was lying, given it was probably near the outside wall, but a material that was still in the room. But we discovered it about 4 or 5 weeks ago. I opened the door and I just couldn't believe it. So that was where I was on down to meet Simon Harris. I took the coat with me down to show him, because sometimes a picture, or if you see something like that in front of your face, it can say 1,000 words. And also, I had 2 inhalers with me. My little 10-year-old now is on 2 inhalers, and I'm absolutely fuming about it. She has a brown one and a blue one. She's been told to take the blue one every time she goes to sport, and if she starts getting short of breath or starts this uncontrollable coughing, she's to take a squirt of that. So I was going to show them the effect that this is having on our health, living, and show them proof of the conditions that we are living. Every single person with a defective concrete home is living in and breathing that on a daily basis, nightly basis. Now, our house every morning, the windows are thrown open, not thrown fully open. The windows are all open to get fresh air into the house. We come back, the house is freezing. You start to try to heat the damn thing again. But you're breathing that on a daily basis. Now, my son, he's nearly 17. He's just after finishing a course of antibiotics for uncontrollable coughing, and I have proof of this now. Thankfully, he's not too bad at the moment. But this is, do you know this, Greg? It's criminal. It's absolutely criminal what's happening. Now, I only took that down to show Simon Harris the proof of the condition of inside a house, and the inhalers were taken down to show the effects that it is having on our health and our children's health and everybody that is unfortunate enough to be living in a defective concrete home. But he didn't even turn up. Not only for us, for the 100 redress party. There was other people there. There was people there in wheelchairs. There was people there from a creche in Raphoe. He could have given us 5 minutes, because that's all I wanted to do, is just to show him that. I mean, I'm living in that condition for the last 13, 14 years, knowing that we have it, and I think I have earned my right to spend 30 seconds in his company, and I thought the least he could have done was to turn up when he was due to turn up instead of tucktailing and running again from Donegal and the powers that be.
Where did you try and meet him? Was this part of the Letterkenny scheduled stop
Correct.
That ended up with being scrapped?
Correct.
So you didn't get to see him at all. You had this with him, you had the inhalers with you, but you didn't get to see him.
Correct.
Do you know
Correct.
What,
he never turned up. But apparently he was in Letterkenny.
Yeah, go ahead, yep.
No, apparently he was in Letterkenny, and listen, it wouldn't have put him too far back to come down and spend 10 minutes with people that have queued there and people that sat in wheelchairs for up to 3 hours that waited for him to come down. It wouldn't have, 10 minutes would have been neither here nor there. It was a very peaceful, it was probably about 40 of us there. Listen, nobody's here to fall out with anybody. We're just there to point out and to ask for help and listen, to show them the stark reality of what we're living with.
When I saw these pictures, the first thing, and I didn't know the situation with your children's health, but the first thing I thought of is if that's what it's doing, you know, visibly, what you can see to a jacket, which is skin, let's face it, that's what a leather jacket is. But anyway, I don't know the mechanics of the lungs, right? But it did make me wonder if that's what it's doing to a jacket, what's it doing to someone's respiratory system? But you're saying your kids are sick over the head of living in a defective concrete block home.
I've got a 10-year-old now that is on 2 inhalers, and my son is just after coming off a course of antibiotics for an unstoppable cough. Now, he has stopped cough, I'll grant that now. But my little daughter, she's still on 2 inhalers, and it has to be that. We knew that the room was bad before we moved her out, but now the inhalers are definitely helping. But this is unbelievable. Now, hey, listen, I'm listening to you this morning about John McInulty, hoping to review this in 6 months' time if they get in. I say to John McInulty this morning, 6 months' time from now, I'll be out of my house, John McInulty. What good was that to me? What? I'll be out of my home. Come and visit my home. Come and have a look at it. We are fed up with these empty promises here in Donegal. It's an absolute disgrace and it's criminal what's happening. I mean, there's been associated suicides with us. There's been marriage breakups. The mental health and torture that people are going through is, Greg, it's right up there. It's just a loving nightmare that you just can't seem to wake up from.
Mm.
I don't know where we're going. The powers that be are just, I'm fed up with these empty promises, and we're sifting through the scraps from the table constantly. They're giving us drips and drabs. Even in the face of scientific proof, they still seem to manage to drag their heels. We are dragging them, kicking and screaming over every hurdle just to get something. I just don't get it. But now that it's taken effect on people's health and my children's health, I can assure you, Greg, I'm not one but happy this morning. This is, it's not right. It's not right. I'm at a loss as to know what to say to you.
No, that's right. You're speaking from the heart. You're saying exactly as things are. In terms of rebuilding your house, I mean, are you on the scheme? Is there any hope for you on the scheme, Martin?
There's talk of them demolishing us the end of spring or the start of summer 2025. So our weekends for the past 7 or 8 weeks consists of wrapping, boxing and labelling. You have your week's work done, you go home, you think you're sitting down to relax. That's what our weekends now consist of. And it's not just me, it's everybody that has it. So that's what we're doing. Wrapping, boxing and labelling and shipping. Everything's coming out.
Do you know
this? If you didn't have it, you wouldn't wash it in. Sorry.
No, I know exactly what you're saying. Do you know how far the grant will go to rebuilding your house, Martin, at this stage?
Greg, as you well know as well as I do, it keeps revolving. The goalposts are forever changing. I couldn't give you a definitive answer today because that would be a completely different answer in a month's time. Mm-hmm. I haven't got a clue, but I do know that it's going to cost thousands, and I don't know. I really don't know what to say to you. I wasn't expecting to be on speaking to you. I just sent you in the picture to show that, listen, this is all I was going to do.
Speak off the top of your head and from the heart. It's difficult. I know I can hear it in your voice. I think as a parent, I also understand too that, you know, when things impact us, we can sort of grin and bear it, but it's difficult. It's extraly difficult when it's starting impacting on children, especially on their health, because we're responsible for them, Martin, you know, and it feels like
Absolutely.
It's our fault, yet we're hopeless or helpless. Right.
You're
okay.
So powerless. Listen. There's just nothing. There's just nothing you can do. And can I now? And I realise the importance of having a TD at the table. That is hugely important for the county. I know that. Greg, where is he? Why won't he come on one of the local radio stations, one of the most listened local radio stations in the country? And he refuses to come on and talk to the people of Donegal, the good people of Donegal.
Yeah, well, his issue to me, his issues with me. I think his issues with me, not the people of Donegal. In fairness,
that doesn't matter to him. Should be put aside. It's a slap in the face to everybody in Donegal, and it's a slap in the face to his own party members.
Right, Martin, listen, we'll leave it there. Best wishes to the family. I hope whatever process you have to go through from now on is as smooth as possible. I understand the frustration that you didn't get to present this evidence to Simon Harris. They've the government have stated the reasons why. You've questioned those reasons why, and we'll leave it at that. Thank you very much indeed, Martin. And if you were watching, you'll have seen the state of this leather jacket. If you weren't, let me describe it. It's brown, sort of suede type leather, and it was from within the home and absolutely covered in this living mould. Is all the only way I could describe it. Hi, Greg. On the subject of funerals, I can understand how a funeral can cost €5,000. A friend told me, for example, that it cost €50 for a candle lit in the Chapel of Rest. Nobody usually questions the cost as they are grieving. Could any undertaker explain the costs? I suppose a lot of costs are sort of tailored to the want of the family and what have you. For all its faults, putting up poster debates, canvassing and long manual counts have been a traditional part of Irish democracy. I'm apolitical, but have no issues with posters in permitted areas, securely tied at correct heights, removed within 5 days of voting, recycled or stored for reuse. Good luck to all candidates and stay safe on those dark evenings. Harris got no phone call from Trump. What a lie from Harris. Trump doesn't have Harris's number, doesn't need it. Well, he did. I get where you're coming from, but there was a call. Whether or not you think it justified the delay or whatever the reason was, that there was a call there. My mother passed away in 2021 and had paid for her funeral. This was in England during the pandemic, and it was a huge help to me as it was one less thing to worry about, not just financially. Yeah, indeed. And I suppose it depends on the size of the family too. For some families, there's lots of people can share that responsibility. For others, it falls to one person. Hi, Greg. Why don't you do a Facebook poll on the general election as part of your podcast? It'd be very interesting to see the results. We can do. We can do actually something along those lines. There's just so many candidates, but leave it with me. I'm not sure how useful it might be. If you believe it would be useful, we can certainly do that. I think politicians made politics toxic themselves by dishonesty, but they would rather blame the people for it, says a listener. I was listening to the 9 till noon show and one of the comments came in about an election poster being placed too low, just passing, and I took a photo of the alleged election poster just before the CPI in Castlefin. Where is it? I see, yes, it is quite a low one. I can't make out who that is. It's Mr. McNulty, I believe. I noticed coming up towards Letterkenny too this morning. I was coming up from the Kilmacrenan direction this morning, and there are a couple of posters there that are pretty close to the footpath and certainly lower than they should be. Please tell politicians not to erect posters at road junctions, etc. For an example, the crossover point on the dual carriageway at Trimna, it obstructs visibility for drivers using these crosses. It should not be allowed. I think there's a role in the council, though, to make sure and go out and check sight lines and that type of stuff and have an active role in removing them if they do need to be removed. Okay, I'm going to chat to Siobhan after this short break. Okay, Siobhan, good morning to you.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing all right. So you are talking about accessibility aids for citizens voting. We were talking about this a little earlier on, but I'll just let you outline really what you messaged in to us, if that's okay.
Oh, yeah, no problem. I'm probably going to have to look at it because I kind of forgot myself. What I was kind of finding out was it's just really not good enough, particularly for voting. I know the lady had said that for a referendum, it's easier, but when it comes to actually voting, you're having to recall information whilst you're in pretty kind of, you're making a pretty difficult decision. So there's like layers on that. And maybe just to give people a bit more context about myself and my background, I'm what's called a user experience designer. So what I do really is I focus on the people who are interacting with the world. Mm-hmm. Majority of my time is mostly software, but it's these principles apply across the board. And when the lady was talking yesterday and she was expressing the difficulties that are present whenever you are, voting, it just made me, it just kind of drives home my suspicions that I've had before. The accessibility is not being prioritised.
One of the things Jackie said yesterday, which I thought was remarkable in 2024, in that if she wishes to vote for Charles Ward, for an example, and I'm only using his name because he appears so far down the ballot at this point, and it may even be lower, she has to actually count. There's no way. She counts down 20, right? And that is where she puts her number in for Charles Ward. And then if she wanted to go for someone in the middle, then she has to count all the way back down again and then put a 2 there and so on and so forth. Like, in 2024, there must be a more effective way, because she's actually got no real way herself of confirming that she's marking the ballot correctly.
Well, the reality is that Braille printers exist, and they have existed for a very, very long time. It's just the fact that the government, again, is not prioritising these accessibility aids for people, performing one of their civic duties. Do you know what I mean?
And can I say too, Siobhan, if you don't mind, and I'm sorry if I appear like I'm cutting across you, part of the role I think of the opposition is to actually press the government on issues like this. So whilst, of course, any government that's in situ, it's ultimately their responsibility, I haven't heard really anyone in the opposition screaming this from the rooftops either. And we do, people do elect opposition parties and individuals as well to hold the government to account on these issues. So whilst, as I say, I'm not trying to relieve the government of responsibility. I'm saying, that everyone should have a say or have an interest in this, Siobhan.
100%. I would agree. It's not only the government. I was actually in reference to the defective concrete block scheme portal, and as a designer, I really question the accessibility of the software. It's incredibly hard to read, and so it's all of our society. And I have raised that with certain elected officials in opposition, and said to them, this needs to be looked at, because you are actually excluding the most vulnerable in our society. We actually have to, just speaking in reference to the defective block scheme, if we have to actually employ people to explain how to navigate the scheme, it just shows that it is innately flawed. And that'd be my professional opinion, as a designer who works in this realm. If I went to the people that I work with and said, "Well, lads, we've got to hire somebody to help these people out," I know that I haven't done my job, because I would need to have really considered the people who would be using this. And I just think it's shocking. And it just shows, going back to the voting point, that though they have something in place, they very clearly didn't ask somebody who has a visual impairment to actually test the product. So that shows there's no QA testing involved whenever these products are going out.
After I spoke to Jackie yesterday, I was searching through the internet, to see what information was out there and all that type of thing. And one thing that did strike me is that this is a conversation that's happening everywhere, in Britain, in 100%. America. There's talk in some states of introducing an online element to assist blind people or visually impaired. It's not unique to here. It seems to be right across the globe. The vote of the visually impaired doesn't seem to matter equally to that of the sighted.
Well, I would disagree. I'm sure we all kind of disagree at this. And you're right, there are standards being put in place across the board. There are standards called WCAG, which is the Web Institute, detailing how you should be making affordances for visually impaired people with maybe motor or fine motor skills or challenges there or a variety of all things. But the reality is anybody who works in this industry, and we have thousands of people working in IT, and I'm a designer, the developers who work in this industry know that these standards exist. It's not something unknown. It's just that it hasn't been prioritised by the government or the elected officials, everybody involved. It is secondary. Well, the thing that in my work day to day, we prioritise accessibility for all. Because when you make things accessible for all, everybody else can access it. Yeah. Same way as we build our houses, you know, we put them wee ramps in the front and we make sure our doors, we can't seem to make that permeate our society, but we actually haven't actually got to the world of the internet yet and making that accessible for people, which I think is just, it's just getting, it's beyond a joke at this stage. It's 2024, you know, people should be able to have access to online services.
You were also frustrated equally, finally, Siobhan, at Simon Harris not meeting with demonstrators or concerned people in Letterkenny.
Yeah, there was a lady there who was explaining how she's a carer, and I think I don't know if she said that she was going to be chatting to you, Greg, but she's a carer of five people, and she can barely get 5 minutes to herself, and she was standing 2 hours out in the cold. I seen the gentleman, Martin was his name, with his jacket, and you know, I understand that Mr. Harris might be trying to avoid angry people, and I know it's hard to talk with angry people, but the thing is he has a perfect opportunity to sit down and just let people shout, because after you hear them shout, to be honest, I don't think they would have shouted at
them. I know what you mean, though. Let them get whatever they have on their chest off their chest.
Exactly. The sad reality is that every single person that was there waiting for him, that maybe wasn't a Fine Gael member, were actually people who were in pain, in mental pain and physical pain. There was a girl in a wheelchair there who was pleading for treatment, I think, for her scoliosis. And apologies if I've you know, misread our situation, but everybody there has a story, and it just really feels like the disappointment was palpable. And then the sneaking off of the Fine Gael members over time, Joe McHugh disappeared. He was chatting to people, and then he just slunk off into the background.
I understand where you're coming from and your characterization of it. I just have to be conscious that we are just in an official election situation now. And you know, Simon Harris gave the reasons as to why he didn't attend. I think you question that as others do.
Like having a phone call, I think it could have been placed at a different time is what I would say. I don't see that as an excuse. I see that as a very good distraction.
Yeah, rope Trump into that, though, would be something else, because I think it was Trump that was doing the ring around. But as I say, I'm just trying to be as fair as possible, if you know what I mean. But your comments are on the record, Siobhan, and I do appreciate your time today. I hope you don't think I'm cutting you off. I'm not sure. We've had a good long chat.
No.
Thanks for your time, Siobhan. Mm-hmm. Take care of yourself. All right, thank you. 08660 25,000. Greg, could you find out who's actually in charge of the OPW? I mean, we all heard of Bike Shed, Security Hut, the Bus Shelter, Consulting, and now 70,000 on curtains, flying people in and out to sea. It's not proper. A 600,000 euro one. Spin. Seriously, someone's signing off on all this squandering, people waiting on appointments for years, and our young nurses and doctors abroad asking for a reason to come home. This has to stop. Someone has to accept responsibility. Last time I checked, Maurice Buckley is the chairman of the OPW, I believe, and two other commissioners as well. Martin and the rest of Donegal need to realise Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael and the Greens in government have made a deliberate decision not to fix the defective bloc issue. Any person who votes for these parties are condoning their actions or lack of or letting down your neighbours. But again, you know, there are the argument is there that the scheme is being adjusted, it's being upgraded, it's being updated and being reviewed and so on and so forth. No way did Donald Trump ring Simon Harris. It was to avoid meeting with people in Letterkenny. He's not that important. Well, they were going around the world leaders, in fairness, but I take your point. That's your view. Apparently, Simon Harris had enough time to chat to Samantha Lebrary on the 6-1 News in Letterkenny that day. That comes in from Kevin. Wasn't aware of that. Last one before a break. Slander by way of negative reviews is not uncommon. It is well known that someone who feels like they had a bad experience writes a negative review and then gets their friends who had no interaction with the business concerned to write an equally negative review. This is slander and should be accountable or actionable. Its only purpose is to maliciously damage the reputation of the business concerned. Actually, you know, it's an interesting point you make because you do see I can't remember what the word used to be now, but anyway, it's online organised reviewing down a business that you don't like, or if you don't like their politics for that matter, you do see that. I suppose that is slander and it's not really genuine. But that's not the case with this chap. He just stuck up a negative review and it was seen as slander in Dubai. But I think the point you're making is something that we do see in this country. It's like a pylon that bees organised online. All right, we're going to go to James after this quick break. So let's go back to the roads. Yeah. James is with me now. Hi, James. Good morning to you.
How you doing, Greg?
I'm doing all right. You're highlighting, and it's off the back of an experience, something you've seen, the dangerous condition of the Drumkeen Road. So what did you experience, I suppose, firstly?
Well, I'll just tell you the story, Greg. Saturday evening, I was going to Drumkeen with my two children, going up a road. We go up Maranapan, a road, a town on Maranapan, and it takes you on to a high called Big. Now, this road will take you out at St. Mary's Hall down in Convey, if you go down that road. Mm-hmm. But I seen this car coming up, in the clear evening. I seen a car coming up towards me, but where I was driving, I had the right of way, but just sweeping corner, going down a hill. But I seen the car coming very fast, but at that last moment, I decided to hit the brake. I had a notion the car wasn't going to stop, so the car started skidding, and by the time the car got stopped, it was on the Drumkeen side of me. It had actually passed the front of my van.
Wow.
But that is okay. I went on. I went on to Drumkeen. The person in the car obviously didn't know the road. So he pulled in. He obviously was in shock, but I drove on. Everything was okay there. But it was just pure luck that I hit the brake. But the following Monday, I rang the RASA and explained them, told them the story. And he said, Mr. Donaghy, this has nothing to do with us.
No.
We only deal with authorization of vehicles and et cetera. And we have nothing to do with roads. You have to ring the county council. And I said to the girl, this is the Road Safety Association that I'm ringing. And she said, that's correct, but we don't deal with roads. I rang the council, a fellow come on and explained how the road was, and he says the road work's ongoing on that road. Now, this road had been retired, this road in question, about 3-4 months before this. I had said to him, all I want for you to do is put a line across the road. There is a stop sign, Greg.
So just so I know the road, it's a side road coming out onto the Drumkeen Road, is it?
I don't know if you're familiar, Greg, but if you turn up at the chemist in Convoy up by the graveyard,
yes,
and you drive up and you're heading for Drumkeen, you come out onto another road, they call it Ahigald Big.
Right.
It's a sweeping corner, but you don't see, but you're coming down that road. All you see is the straight road in front of you. The corner is falling away and you're up on top of the corner before you see it.
Right, so the drivers aren't getting a fair crack of the whip in knowing what's upcoming if they don't know the road. Yeah.
if you don't know the road. But all I asked for was for a line that they put beside the stop sign so that people would know that they don't have the right of way, that they can't drive on, and put a sign back, because it appears a straight road when you're driving down it. And your boy says, we don't do that. It's never done till the road is the road works is completed. So that's 6 months ago, Greg, and there's absolutely nothing been done on this road. Now, back about 3 weeks ago, my own sister had a similar experience to myself, and I was speaking to a man only a few days ago, and he had a near miss on this corner as well.
Right.
But when I said to the fella, I says, if I hadn't had them brakes, there's a good chance that I would have been buried today or tomorrow. Mm-hmm. That's how serious that is. And his answer to me was, this man on the council, he said to me, sir, ring me back in a fortnight. He says, I don't mind taking your call. That was his reply to me. Like, and I think that's very unacceptable. You know, but there's many other roads throughout the county, Greg, similar to this road. It might be by roads. People mightn't be killed, but there's plenty of people been badly injured and named for the rest of their lives because the county council isn't listening. The RSA isn't listening. The thing isn't
and the TII are in there. You can chuck them in there as well. Transport Infrastructure Ireland, formerly the NRA.
All we can do, like, I have two teenagers now grown up in another couple of years. They'll be on the roads driving. Like, we all want, it's our brothers or sisters or friends or father or mother, whatever. We don't want nobody to get hurt on the roads. And we only can do or try our best.
If you don't mind me, James, jumping in on this, because this is something that has frustrated me in the past. It's a point I try and make. You know, there are three factors normally in road traffic collisions. Obviously, it's the behaviour of the driver, and B, there's the condition of the vehicle. Now, we know there's every other ad break. Thankfully, there's road safety messages as it relates to keep concentrating, wear your seatbelt and all that kind of stuff. In terms of the car, the NCT and the punishments that you get if you don't NCT your car. But the third factor is the condition of the roads. And it seems it doesn't seem to get the attention or indeed the blame that it deserves. You know what I mean? It seems to be the one out of that trio, it seems to be the least accountable, the least focused on, other than this conversation we're having right now.
In fairness, Greg, the council, like, and I admire the work that the council does on the roads, but that's besides the point. It's a simple bit of paint. You know, somebody's life is not worth a wee bit of paint. And if there are work ongoing on the roads, at least there should be signage, there should be coned up until the road is completed to make sure the road is at a safe standard so that people know. Because, you know, we have a lot of people now that's not from the area and it might be new to the area. You know, driving down a road, you know, and at least if the signage is right on the road, there's some chance that it's going to, if it only saves somebody getting badly hurt, it's worth doing.
Okay.
In my opinion.
All right. Listen.
The other thing I just want to say as well, Greg, the RASA now and again bring up a thing about. On a sunny day, they wear glasses, sunglasses. But I had an experience back a few years ago where if you don't have the proper sunglasses, under no circumstances should ordinary sunglasses, cheap sunglasses, be worn when you're driving. Because I was going up a brae and there was a shade and the sun was shining down. And by the corner of my eye, I was past a woman and I did not see that woman through the sunglasses.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say to anybody that's driving, under no circumstances do you wear ordinary cheap sunglasses. There should be sunglasses suitable for driving.
Okay.
Because I often see people with glasses on and them in the middle of the road because they don't see. If there's a bit of shade, you can't see the road properly with ordinary on the. The other thing, could I just say another thing? About
in about 30 seconds, James, if you don't mind.
And the schools. Please get into the schools. I got the book home from my secondary school and there's content in it that shouldn't be in it. So the parents, get into your schools and see what's in the sex education and the SPHE book. Please get in and go to Rebecca McDade's page. You have the number there, Greg, anyway, so please look into it and get on your TDs now to try and stop this corrupt stuff that's in the books.
All right, James.
Thanks very much.
Greg. Thank you very much indeed. A lot going on there. James Donaghy there. Right, 086 60 25,000, WhatsApps and texts to that number. Email, if you wish, comments at highlandradio.com. We're going to take a break. Stay tuned for the news and the obituary notices, and then we'll be back with the second hour of the 9 till noon show.